Well, and this is my first senior recognition Sunday, and so it was quite a struggle to come up with something to say about seniors because I only know a couple things, and I tend to say them all the time, and so not much has changed, but I want to say congratulations to all our seniors on this great accomplishment. I kind of joked this past week, like, what else would they be doing if they weren't in school? You know, but thanks for laughing. I heard a few of y'all. But I want to challenge you guys and encourage you guys. If you're not a senior, I'm talking to you as well, okay? So don't check out. All right, so this message is for seniors, but this message is also for everybody in this room. So I need everybody's attention because this is extremely serious and something that I'm really passionate about, and I want you guys to hear, because the reality is graduating is fantastic. It's great. Hallelujah. They got through school. That's great. And I'm super proud of them. But if they or you leave this place and you don't know Jesus, then you missed it. Okay? And so if you're here, trust me, this is great. I love the seniors. But if you don't know Jesus more than an intellectual knowledge, look, you've missed it. And so, yes, we're celebrating seniors, but we celebrate Jesus in this place, okay? So I love the seniors, but I'm taking away from them, but I want Jesus to be above those. And I want you to leave here saying, I don't remember the name, but I know Jesus, okay? So that's my heart, and that's kind of where we're moving. And so let me just talk to the seniors real quick, okay? Now comes big responsibility. Most of you will go to college, pursue a career, and that means you're going to be on your own. And some of y'all are like, yes. Some of y'all are like, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do without mom's cooking. I don't know what I'm going to do having to pay my own bills. But listen, there's no more parental accountability, okay? So that means if you don't want to go to class, guess what? You can hit snooze and no one's going to know, right? If you don't want to go to church, then you can just skip church, right? So there's not an accountability that you have there saying, hey, get up, come to church. Get up, go to class. And so you're going to have to take that step and say, hey, I need to take initiative in my life and I need to pursue these things. Because the most important thing you can do as a senior, and your teachers will tell you this, I wouldn't say it's the most important thing. The second most important thing is go to class. Okay, you want to pass? Go to class. Second thing, the most important thing is find a godly church. Okay, a church that teaches biblical truth is the most important thing. You want to get plugged in and start serving. Find a role in the church and be active participants. Okay, don't just go there and take up the air conditioning. Okay, we don't have any of those in our church. All right, everybody here is serving. Sorry. I have to do this. And so now back to church and seniors, okay? Because and I struggled all week trying to come up with something, but there's a sad reality. There's people here, and that never come to church. There's people here that may not come to church. They may have an understanding, or understand who God is, all those things. But there's a sad reality. This is important. This isn't a game, okay? Church following Jesus is not a game that we play on Sunday mornings. We come here, we sit here, we listen, we leave, check the box, and say, I'm good, okay? That is not what we're to be doing, because the sad reality is that not everyone, and I struggle with this, because this hurts, not everyone that goes to church is a Christian, okay? Not everybody that goes to church is going to heaven. That's sad. That's a sad reality that every week we're in here, we hear about Jesus, and we leave, and it does not affect the way we live, the way we are outside of this room, but we check a box and we say, I'm a Christian. Okay, this is the only place in America that people go and leave saying, I'm something, okay? So we all go to McDonald's, we all go to Taco Bell, and I say this all the time, but you leave McDonald's saying you're a cheeseburger. Okay, but we come to church and we leave and say, I'm a Christian. Look, that's not true, and that's sad. And so I have to say that, and I'm trying to step on toes here because we need eyes to see and ears to hear. Because if we don't see and hear that just because we're here we're not going to heaven, then we could easily be deceived. So hear these words in Jesus, because the Bible specifically says that not everybody who goes to church is going to heaven. In fact, it says this in Matthew 7:13-14. It says, for the gate is wide and the way is easy, it leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard, and that leads to life, and those who find it are few. That's not good news. That's not good news that few find this path. Churches all over America today are full, and there's only few that are on this path. That's not good news. Okay, I'm not a hardcore preacher, okay? So don't think, oh, he's just hardcore. No, this is the Bible. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the scriptures. And it only gets worse as we continue reading. This was Jesus says this. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. So let me just stop there for a second, okay? Because when he says Lord, that's important to know. Lord, Lord is like, hey, I understand you're the King, sovereign King over all things. Okay, I have intellectual knowledge that you are, in fact, God. So he's saying to these people, Lord, Lord, and Jesus is saying, not everyone who says to me these two key words, because if you've ever gone to church, you know who Jesus is, but there's a difference in knowing and knowing. Are we catching that? Does everybody understand that you can intellectually know things about Jesus and not know him? I'm hoping you know that. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So look, now that I hope I have your attention, I'm not trying to scare you into loving Jesus, okay? Because that's not possible, okay? Because that's not how following Jesus works. But it's important that you know this truth. Just because you're here this morning does not mean you're saved. So you should listen up, because I'm going to give you good news here shortly. Okay, so that's bad news that not everybody here is saved. So please search the depths of your soul. Search your heart. Okay, let's throw out everything in your mind. Let's throw out all those things that could very easily deceive us, because the Bible constantly says, don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. Listen, those who have eyes and ears, listen and see. Okay, so the Bible is clearly saying, hey, let's not follow your heart here. Okay, let's follow Jesus. Okay, don't mix those two up, okay? You can follow your heart and it leads to some places that Jeremiah would say are wicked, okay? And then you can follow Jesus and that leads to life. So let's just listen. So true Christianity, and I'm going to keep going on this and then we're going to get to good news. True Christianity is not universalism. Anybody know what that word means? I'm in seminary now. I feel like a genius because I learned a word, right? So universalism basically means everybody wins. Everybody goes to heaven. That is not Christianity. Though it's kind of flooding Christianity that, hey, everybody goes, right? Everybody wins. Well, let's give them a participant trophy. That is not true, because the Bible is clear. There's only one group of those who go to heaven. And I'm not disregarding other passages of Scripture, okay? We're saved by grace through faith. Yes, God loves the whole world, but he sends only Son. I'm not disregarding those passages. They're beautiful, okay? But please don't think I'm good. I said a prayer when I was 8. Please don't say, oh, I come, I give, I tithe, I listen. I'm good. Okay, Jesus, me and Jesus have this understanding. Look, it's not true. Search the depths. Don't make an excuse. Okay, don't think a loving God would never, okay, because that's not true either. And I'll even take it a step further, and this might hurt some of y'all's feelings, okay, but that's okay because I got good news. You could even say, we'll take it away from those who say, I believe, right? We're saved through a confession in Christ. But let's just get this clear, okay? James 2 tells us that even the demons believe and they shudder. Okay, there's great fear in the fact that the demons believe that God is one. Okay, so even the demons believe and they shudder. And let's just say demons aren't going to heaven. Okay, so it's not just belief, okay? The belief is carried more than right here, okay? Because the demons just don't quite grasp that thing. They know what's happening to them, and they believe, and they're terrified, which they got us beat. Some of us believe, and we're just happy sailing. Man, I'm in church with church day, check. Man, let's not get caught up in that. The gospel is the good news. Let's not forget that. So don't trust in an outside action. Don't trust in coming into a building. Don't trust in a prayer that you said you're eight of VBS. Please don't trust that. Okay, trust Jesus. Okay, there's a big difference in that. This is me doing something, and this is saying, hey, I'm trusting you because you are the only way. I said this prayer, so I think I'm good. Look, I'm not taking away from salvations here. Okay, if you said a prayer when you're eight, great. Okay, but that prayer should have taken you places to the person of Jesus. Okay, the prayer doesn't end in the sanctuary in front of whoever you prayed with. Okay, you've got to follow Jesus. It's not just saying words, it's following Jesus. There's a big difference. Okay, so there's three important things that I'm going to go over. Okay, so here you go. Personal faith in Jesus. Be committed to God, and we got to finish the race. This is key. Your personal faith in Jesus. If we don't get this right, you can't do the other two. Okay? You cannot do the other two if you don't have a personal one-on-one relationship with Christ. Most of us here grew up in church. But now, you've got to take that extra step and say, hey, is this really my faith? Because partly what happens, we piggyback off the parents, we get to college, and ready to go. I'm going to find out what I want. But look, we've got to step in. It's not we go to college, do whatever we want, and say, no, I'm saved because my parents are saved. Okay, you can't live vicariously through another believer and say, I'm saved. That's not how it works. It's a personal, one-on-one relationship. We cannot miss this, okay? Hear me, you cannot live vicariously through another believer. That's important to understand. All right, now that I got that, all the bad news out of the way, let's just roll with it. John 14, verse 15 through 24. This is what it says. It'll be on the screen too. If you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and will love him and manifest himself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the words that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So there's two things that I want you guys to notice. First thing is, this love is not promised to the world. Okay, John 3:16 is still there. Okay, but this love is not promised to the world. How do I know that? Well, just read your Bible. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Did we catch that? Whom the world cannot receive. This is not for the world. So God does, in fact, love the world that gave his only son, but there's a specific group of people, specifically those who love him, who get this special kind of love, and it's not for the world. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. In verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? Okay, so we see in Scripture that this love that God is talking about is not for the world. Okay? It's not even for the church. It's for the specific believer who loves him. And that's our second point. The promise is given to those who love Jesus. Okay? This place should be full of people who love Jesus. It should not be full of people who love self and want something from this place. Okay? That's not what church is about. Church is about those who love Jesus. The thing we need to notice here is that loving Jesus is not the same as keeping his commands. Rather, keeping his commands is a result of loving him. Not the same as loving him. Are we catching that? Are we picking up what I'm putting down? Right? I feel like I'm teaching youth. Everybody's just staring at me. Are we following me? Does everybody understand that? Okay, it's not the same. Okay, loving Jesus is not the same as keeping his commands. Rather, keeping his commands is the result of you loving Jesus. True love is manifested in willing obedience. Verse 15, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me, the love we've already received, yes, God loves us, he died for us, we receive that love, and if we love him back, the result of our love is going to be shown in the way we're obedient to God. Okay, we don't be obedient to God and then say, oh, there's his love, because the cross has already happened, right? We say, we love him, we receive that. John 3:16 is here, right? And now we're in John 14, it says, yeah, God died for you, okay? When you receive that, your response is going to be obedience to him. And I think the problem is we get legalistic here. We're like, what do we need to do? What do we need to do, God? Just give me a list. Look, what we need to do is believe in Jesus. Right? That's where we stay. Okay? We don't move very far from loving, serving, and being completely dependent on the cross of Christ. Okay? We stay around that because it's what saves us, yes, but it's also what sanctifies us and holds us until the day of Christ Jesus. Do we understand that? Because I think we tend to move from it from time to time and be like, no, I got this, God. Thanks. I'm moving on to bigger, deeper, cooler things because I got the gospel down. Do you? Because you're like, oh, what can I do? Oh, I messed up. Let me do these things to get the love that's already there for me. Look, if we love him, it's going to be shown in our actions. And get this, okay? This is, blew my mind when I read it, okay? Because this isn't like my words all the time. I'm not that smart. Some of y'all know that. Look, loving Jesus isn't something you just do. Right? It's not like, okay, God, I'll choose to love you. Like, he's not like us. Like, do you understand? Like, he's much higher. Like, when we understand this is who you are, God, and this is who I am, that it's a difference here. Like, I chose to love my wife. And I choose to love my wife every day. She's a human. She's sinful. Okay, I don't just say, oh, I'm gonna choose to love you, God. It's like, you're like, what is defaulty about him that you could say, oh, I don't know if I could love you today? Like, at what point has he wronged anyone or done anything that we could say, I don't know if I like you? Like, the only thing you couldn't like about him is that he died on the cross for you. And look, are we understanding what I'm saying? Like, God is much higher. Like, Jesus said these words, and Jesus is God. So Jesus is not the same as man, so we don't just, I'm going to love you. No, that's not how it works. And so what happens is the scriptures tell us how this is manifested in us. When we see the goodness and the glory of Jesus Christ, we do nothing but love him. When you understand the gospel, like, it's not like, oh, I'm gonna just decide on this. You're like, this is my reaction. I just love you. And so we're getting there. Obedience to Christ is the indication of genuine love. And the only way we love Jesus more and more is through the gospel, right? Because at the moment we receive the gospel, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and now we have the power living inside of us to love God in a manner that is the way he calls us to love him. So it's not like you chose. Like, the Holy Spirit at salvation comes into your heart. Okay? We hear that. And then now we have the power to walk in this love that he has commanded us to do. Now we can truly, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Now we have the Spirit inside of us and the strength to be able to love him and keep his commands. And so it's not our own strength. It's not like, oh, I'm going to do this. No, the Holy Spirit, this helper that the pastor was talking about, comes to us. And so let me get to the good news, okay? Look, this is the gospel. You hear that? You may hear that a church term, okay? The gospel just simply means good news. And all it means is that God from heaven looked upon his creation, who now has turned from the Creator and worshiped creation, what God's hand has made. Now we're worshiping things that we see and God is unseen. So what we did was we chose to worship creation and say, no, we don't want you, God. We're going to do it ourselves, which is called idolatry. We worship things that God created. And so God looked at that, and at one point he said, I don't even know why I made man. Like, do we remember that in the scriptures? That he says, I don't even know what I was doing. I'm going to destroy them all and save one family. Tell that in children's Sunday school, right? I'm destroying everybody, but Noah, you and your family can live. Okay, we're like, look at the two animals he saved. No, like, he destroyed everything. And so God was like, I don't know why I did this. And then he saves these people, and guess what? All they do is sin. You read the rest of the Bible until you get to the end of the Old Testament, you're like, are you joking? Like, he just destroyed all those people. Like, he just did this. You just watched him deliver you from the hand of these people. What are you doing? Right? And then God, in a perfect moment, while we were sinning, he sent Jesus Christ to man, right? In the form of a baby, born of a virgin. Okay, he grew up just like all of us in this room. He lived a perfect life. That means there was no selfishness in him, ever. Everything was perfect, just the way we were created before the fall. It was perfect. And so, at that moment, what did we do? Church people got mad, and they got this mob, and they arrested him, and now they're throwing false accusations out. And then he was crucified. But before that, don't forget about the beatings that took place all night. And then the additional beatings, to the point where it says that he didn't know if he was an animal or a human because he's beat so severely. And then he carried his cross up the side of a mountain and was hung on it. And he died. Like he did that for you. He did that for me. And so, and let's not forget about the part where we said, God, I want your stuff. I don't want you. I want your stuff. In those moments, he sent Jesus. And in those moments, the people that were spitting on him, the people that were mocking him from the ground, are the people Jesus died for. That was you and me. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And now he's in heaven with God. He's still alive. He's not dead. He didn't disappear. Okay, he's in heaven, and guess what? He sat down. Why? Because it's finished. He don't need your help. He wants your heart, and that's all he wants. He does not need you, okay? He does not need me. He wants and desires our heart and nothing more. He doesn't need action. He doesn't need anything. He desires our heart. And so that's the gospel, that if you, by faith, put your trust in that miraculous thing that God, despite you, saved you. You're saved. And now it's sealed. The Holy Spirit has you. Okay? It's not say a prayer and you get saved. It's repent and put your faith in Jesus and walk. That's the most important thing, because there's nowhere in this book that says say a prayer and you get saved. Nowhere. Like, did anybody know that? I didn't know that. It does not say, say a prayer and get saved. It says, follow Jesus. Follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. That's what it says in the scriptures. Repent and believe. Turn from your sin and believe. It doesn't say anywhere about a prayer. It's believing in Jesus, and that belief driving you further than actions that get you God. Because what gets us God is the gospel. That brings us back to right standing with God. Loving God is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit. This primary drive of love is this drive is love. Okay, it's not what we're going to do. The primary drive of our life is we love you, God, so I want to do what your word commands. I don't want to upset you. I want to follow you. The Holy Spirit is our seal. So if you have the Holy Spirit, wouldn't say relax, but you can take a breath, okay? Second point is be committed to God. We're rolling through these. You cannot be committed to God without first being a follower of Christ. So the first and second points go hand in hand. You can't attain the one without the other. And so what's next? Let's look at Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. I'll just read it. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, so our confidence comes through the blood of Jesus, not by our actions, but through the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us, through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir one another up in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of the Lord drawing near. And so my second point is we have to be committed to God. Okay? As a senior, the most important thing you can do is find a church and get plugged into it. Because look, we got the first part down. You saw that we have this confidence to approach the throne of God. We have this relationship with Christ. We have confidence because of what Jesus has done for us. Now, he's telling us we should not neglect meeting together, because when we meet, we stir one another up. Okay, the gospel is shared, and love and good works. We're not neglecting this. It says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. But we encourage one another, as all the more as you see the day drawing near. You want to be at a place where you can have godly relationships, that you can grow and you can engage in worship and learn. Make church a priority early, because if you don't now, it's going to be much harder later. And so get in a godly church, okay? Get in a godly church and hold fast to this confession, our last point. Finish the race. Listen to what Paul says in Acts 20, 24. We just went through the book of Acts, and this is what it says. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So after everything we talked about today, you hear the words of Paul, finish the race. This grace that is laid before us, finish it. Man, keep going. Yearn after Jesus. Follow Jesus every single day. So after all we've talked about, Okay, some of you guys, I started, and hopefully I stepped on your toes. Hopefully you listen. How do I know if I'm really a follower of Christ? That's really an important question, right? That's what everybody's wondering since we just read. Not everybody that comes, not everybody says Little Bird is a follower, right? And so let me just encourage you this way. The Holy Spirit was given to you at salvation for those who love Jesus. So if you love Jesus and you put your faith and all your trust in the work of Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago at Calvary, you are saved. Okay? You don't have to do anything for it. You put your faith in that. Faith is your trust and your obedience to God. That's faith. Okay? Trust and obedience to God. That's faith. So you put your faith, you put your trust and your obedience to God, and you're saved by grace through faith. Okay? You're saved. So that's the best way you know that you're not deceived, because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you leading you. Okay, if you're leading it, it's the wrong way. Okay, it leads you and you submit to what the Holy Spirit says. Okay, I have all kinds of stories. If you have some stories about how I want to do something and the Holy Spirit pushed me the other way, or it really hurt, like painfully hurt, I can share those after service, but we're out of time. The good news is, the best way to know if you are a Christian is, look, it'll continue. Because God's word says, in Philippians 1:6, it says, "And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you, being God, will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus." So if you want to know if you're really a believer, it will continue, okay? And it will grow. That's the best way to know that it won't stop, because God is faithful. Okay, his word is true. If he said, "I'm going to bring this to completion," he's going to. Okay, yes, there's struggles. Yes, there's those days, but those days we hold fast to the gospel that God loves us no matter what. Like, that's why we don't move from it, because days are hard. Man, that's the only thing that got is the gospel. Because I'm always going back to it. When I'm in a period of, I'm not sure, I just feel like I'm struggling, I don't know what to do next, I'm just lost, Lord. And then I look back, I love you. I love you so much, I sent Jesus for you. Don't you believe that? Is that not enough to satisfy your soul? And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm sorry for, I don't know, but I'm just lost. And so that should be enough, that Jesus loves you so much. Graduation is a great accomplishment, but the race is not over. As Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." Paul is not being prideful, because you just read other books of the Bible where he says, "I'll boast in my weaknesses, so that God's power is made manifest in those moments." So he's not saying, "I'm so glad I finished." He's saying, "Look, by God's grace, I'm able to finish what God has laid before me, and I was faithful only because the God that saved me is faithful." No matter what happens, we must believe Philippians 3:14. "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." My prayer for all of you and you seniors is that you keep your eyes focused on Jesus and not wavering away from that. Keep your eyes focused on the fact that he loves you despite you. It's the greatest news in the universe that God loves us. Keep our eyes focused on the goal like Paul, and finish strong. Let's pray. God, we love you. And God, we thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you for the fact that despite our wickedness, you sent Jesus to this earth in the middle of our sin, and you saved us. God, thank you for Jesus. Father, I thank you for these seniors that are graduating. Lord, I pray that they will put their hope and their faith in you and you alone. God, that you would use them to further your kingdom. Father, I pray for our church. God, I pray that our church would be a place that exemplifies your love to a lost and hurting world who needs to know the grace and love that you have for sinners. Father, I pray that we would hold fast constantly to the gospel, God, and we would finish the race and finish it strong, and at the end of our life say, I've kept the faith. I've finished my race by the grace of God. Lord, do a work in the hearts of people. We love you. In Jesus' name. Right now, we got our invitation. And so if you heard something that maybe the Lord's working in your heart, or you want to respond to this good news, and God's already doing a work in the pew, and we invite you to come forward. Me and Andy will be up here. We'll pray for you. We'd love to share with you more. If you just have any questions about anything I said, man, come up here. We don't want you to leave worried or unsure. We want you to know that you know that you know that you're saved, because the gospel is assurance. It's not a wonder, I hope I am. No, there's assurance in knowing that. So if you're confused, that wasn't my intent. And so, man, come talk to us. But do as the Lord leads, as they lead us.